Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. Joining me now, one of our favorite guests, host of the Minus Three podcast, a great one today with Will Brinson was on it, and part of the Extra Points podcast network with Cousin Sal. You can go to extrapoints.com for more information. It's our old pal, Dave Damashek. Dave, how you doing?
Oh, Cause, I'm just fine. I'm doing well. How are you, Pally?
I'm doing good. We had a snowmageddon here in southern Ontario. We had up to 40 centimeters of snow, but thankfully where I am, I was sort of north of it, away from it. So I'm doing good, but it's been a very snowy time for us Torontonians.
I love it. See, here stateside, we still don't fully grasp when you say, what did you say, 20 centimeters?
That yeah, they're 40.
Like that much.
40, it was 40, 40 centimeters, 40 centimeters, and now as we're talking, I'm such a dummy. I'm trying to convert inches to centimeters because I stopped taking math after grade 10.
I don't understand that big canard that was passed off, and I don't know who's responsible, America or the rest of the world, but either way, I'm raw about it. It's enough. I don't like numbers to begin with in math, and then you tell me, we do it one way in America and the rest of the world does it the other, and we better figure it out. And, of course, narcissistic Americans said, screw that. We're not doing it. We're sticking with our way. And now here we are, and I have no idea how much snow you
15,
and the people of Ontario
inches.
Are dealing with. What's that?
15 inches of snow.
Oh, well, that's a lot. That's considerable. Good
that
for you.
Is.
Yeah, I heard it swept up through Pittsburgh on its way to you. So, I'm in sunny SoCal as we speak.
I'm quite aware of that. And, yeah, then there's Celsius versus, centigrade and kilometers, miles. At some point, we need to get on board. Dave, I wanted to start here just to give you the floor for a second. I've been a guy that's defended Ben Roethlisberger, the football player, when they won their first Super Bowl and everyone said that he was horrible against Seattle. I reminded everyone how good he was in the AFC Championship game against Denver. So I'll allow you a minute, if you would like, here about your thoughts on the end of Roethlisberger and what's next for your Steelers.
Well, I'll start with the second question. I think they'll go to the draft. We can hear all the talk about that Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and maybe Derek Carr and maybe Jameis. I don't know, a number of brand name QBs may be on the market when the season wraps up here. I don't suspect that that's where the Steelers go. I think that they find attractive what the Cincinnati Bengals have done. You know, the trick is, if you draft a guy to be the franchise quarterback, for him to actually be the real deal, and that's the crapshoot of doing it. It's a 60-40 proposition, even with a good general manager making that pick for you. But if you land on the right guy, the sweet spot to winning Super Bowls in the age of free agency is to have the real deal at the most important position for 5 years on a rookie deal. You can flesh out the rest of the roster. And so I imagine that they'll go for somebody in the first round, one of these student athletes, and ignore the cynics who decree that this class isn't good. It's not 1983. Every year, the college ranks yield good options in the draft. One, two. Regarding Roethlisberger, listen, what a thing it is in the aforementioned age of free agency. Once again, as a sports town, the one I like, but certainly it's universal and relatable to you, is it's just great when a guy plays his entire career in your team's uniform. We all have to delude ourselves into believing that these guys, when they arrive at 21 or whatever, to your sports town, care as much about the brand on their helmet as we do, the people who've watched it for decades. We're more invested emotionally than they are. But by the end of it, you can tell when a guy makes his run the entire way that with that one organization, it's meaningful to him. And when it gets sideways and you turn into a mercenary and chasing big deals, it's understandable to secure the bag, as they say, and generational wealth. And for the next 200 years, a family is all set because that guy did good sporting and got paid for it. But it's extra sweet when the guy does it over the course of his entire career in one uniform, just like Mario Lemieux did, Willie Stargell, Mean Joe Green, all the legends in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So, awesome stuff. And I'll leave it at that.
Yep, it's good. By the way, it's just gonna be weird not having like guys like that. They've been in our lives for so long. We don't need to talk about Brady, but it's just gonna be weird not having Roethlisberger. Just like as a Giants fan, not having Eli Manning. But getting to the bigger picture, I agree with you that the smart move seems to be the draft. The Colts tried with Phillip Rivers. The Colts tried with Carson Wentz. You know, for the most part, when you get these quarterbacks, even like unless you get an Aaron Rodgers. And then you're going to have to give up so much just to get him. You know, like everyone can point to the Peyton Manning success story, but then I could point to every other example where the older quarterback never delivered.
Well, right. The situation has to be contextualized, I guess. You know, do you think that the Steelers, if you put, a top 10 quarterback in the lineup, that they suddenly transform into a legit Super Bowl contender? You know, when Peyton went to the Broncos, he had his pick and he went to a really solid roster. Tom Brady down in the Tampa St. Pete area, you know, it's funny for all the cynicism that people like, well, you know, it's not just Brady. I mean, that team's loaded. And look at all the other guys. You know, that defense is great, so don't give Brady too much credit. That's part of Brady's football smarts. He looked around and said, man, that team's loaded up, and I can win a Super Bowl with them, and now so he has, and perhaps he'll win a second one here. I'm not that keen on doing it that way. And, you know, I'm spoiled enough because of the team I root for that I'm not in a position to do what the Vikings did, whatever that was, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. They're like, we're so desperate for Lombardi, please. Guy who has tortured us for the last 15 years, Brett Favre, please wear our uniform now and we'll cheer for you. Like, we're not pathetic like that. You know, I'm not making fun of Vikings fans. I understand you really want to see your team win a Lombardi. That's not the Steelers, fortunately, have won a bunch doing it the other way. So I think they'll try to. And by the way, Kevin Colbert, who is the guy who's going to be making the pick along with Mike Tomlin, is the one who put into place the Roethlisberger plan in '04 of veteran QB, then turn things over to the kid. I imagine why would he not try to replicate exactly that model in 2022?
I feel there was a little shot going against the Minnesota Viking fans, but we'll let it pass. We're joined by Dave Damashek. Follow him on Twitter, @Damashek. And again, the -3 podcast, the Extra Points podcast. Even go back and listen to the Dave's of Thunder podcast. You get them all where you find quality podcasts. What for you was the biggest takeaway from this weekend? And I'll include the Monday Nighter, but, you know, the Cardinals offense was just putrid out there. But if Dave Damashek is writing, is editor of the Tribune, what was the number one headline from this weekend?
You know, people always want these leagues and their network partners are incented to have as many fan bases engaged as possible. And that's what has taken us to, you know, whatever league you want to talk about. NHL and NBA have, for as long as I've been watching sports, have had 8 teams on both sides of the playoff picture. That's too many. The March Madness tournament that everybody swoons over, too many teams. And now baseball has the wild card. That stinks. I'm a man of merit. I would be more than happy if every postseason was as simple and streamlined as the way they used to do it 100 years ago in baseball. There are 2 pennant winners. They play each other. Best of 9. All hash settled. That's that and good night. But we have to have as many teams as possible. I mean, people have to have, I get it. It's fun. And by the way, week 18 in the NFL that had the Jags beat the Colts and then the Steelers eked it out in overtime against the Ravens. And then you have to hang on the edge of your seat, Chargers and Raiders till the last play of overtime. That was great stuff, and it's irreplaceable. And, you know, the Steelers didn't win the Super Bowl, but it made for an eternal memory for me, and I'm sure a lot of Steelers fans, and so I'm not going to poo-poo more teams, but the people bellyaching about how could they look at how terrible these games were. They got to get rid of that. These are the same people that want the college football playoff expanded to 12 teams. What do you think the result of those games are going to be? I mean, when Georgia would annihilate, I don't even know who the 12th seed would have been this year, but I can assure you they would have gotten annihilated by Bama, Georgia, or even Michigan in that spot. So that's one takeaway. And lo and behold, for all the smart people out there who say, like, quarterback, you know, QB win shouldn't be a QB stat, look at who's in the divisional round and then get back to me about whether or not the quarterback is that is an essential item to have if you want to be relevant in January in pro football.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely. And then that kind of goes to the Jimmy Garoppolo question. One of the highest winning percentages is now a game away from going to the NFC Championship game, was a couple throws away from winning the Super Bowl. How do you, I mean, you know, I know all the, we could talk about Buffalo, Kansas City. That is going to be the most fun game. But San Fran, Green Bay, considering the stakes for Jimmy Garoppolo's career and also Aaron Rodgers, only been to one Super Bowl, you know, that's the one that I find fascinating when it comes to the quarterback conversation, is Garoppolo and Aaron Rodgers.
I agree with you, and Jimmy G is a sort of a vexing guy to stare at for any game because he will do things within one game every week. They make you say, like, you know what, Jimmy G, little underrated. And then you say, oh, my God, Jimmy G, what were you looking at there? I mean, the fourth quarter pick he threw just about lost him the game. So he beauty's in the eye of the beholder, although we universally agree that he's a beautiful man.
He
we're
is.
Talking about the football guy. We're talking about the – although I still go Tom Brady is more handsome. But that's me. I'm old school. The Jimmy G is fine. He is one of those human exceptions that prove the rule that you need a high-end QB to be in the playoff picture and to have realistic hopes of making a Super Bowl push. You need to have a stud QB, a top 10 QB. The Niners are one of those kind of top-to-bottom organizations that defy that, but you see, not like, I mean, you're right. They were a throwaway from winning the Super Bowl. And to answer your question, I point you towards the actions in the draft last spring of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. Clearly, they don't think Jimmy G's the man. They went and drafted somebody else at number three to replace him.
So weird. I mean, just everything. The 49ers are this. How often do you see this? Are the 49ers 49ers or Tennessee? Which is the team that has more talent, but yet we still don't fully trust the quarterback? Because I think we trust Burrow and Rodgers and Stafford for the most part, Brady, Mahomes, and Josh Allen. But Tennessee and San Fran, lots of talent, but yet we don't totally trust the passer.
Yeah, that's right. But if I make it a pick going forward, I have to take the Titans because they have the bye. And having a bye in pro football is everything. And if you didn't like the 7-team playoff structure this past weekend, you need to root for the Bengals to knock off the Titans because you don't want – because then it gets weird. Where it starts to look strange is to know, to your point about Chiefs and Bills, you know that those are the two best teams in the conference, and one is gonna go away after this weekend. And if the Titans win and they have home field, then they're gonna have a pretty good shot of surviving and getting to the Super Bowl. And we all know that the Titans aren't the best team in the AFC, but we know that they would have gotten there largely because they had that bye. So what you want is for someone to get in the way of that and mess that up. Because if the Titans get there, if the Titans get there, then that stink will be bad enough that then you'll say, like, we got to get at least two teams with byes, and that means getting rid of the seventh seed. But shame the devil, what that probably would mean is they would add an eighth team. And then a decade after that, then it would just be like, I'll let everybody into the playoffs.
Hey, listen, at the very least, that first round would be pretty wild if they're all in the playoffs. Dave, as I let you go, and again, check out -3 podcast. Check out the Extra Points podcast. Great place to go, especially before you place a bet. So I'll leave you with a betting question, my friend. What does the number have to get to in the total for Buffalo, Kansas City for you to take the under? Starts at 54. I've seen it as high as 55. I want to be the contrarian. I want to go against, you know, the public money and pretend I'm with the cool kids and the sharps. But I love the over. I don't know what number that has to be for me to take the under.
I mean, it's not a fun conversation to have because it's not fun to bet the under in a game that you would, as a football fan, should be hoping. There's no reason to think, hey, this could be a real fun defense. I love a good defensive struggle, but this doesn't track to be that. There's no reason it would be that. It wouldn't be satisfying if you're like, hey, got to tip your hat to these defenses. They really shut down these superstar quarterbacks in a 13-10 classic. It would not be a classic. It would have to be turnover fest or some other weird weather condition. Nobody wants that. No, don't be the guy caught standing at the dice table. You don't want to be the guy at the craps table standing there betting the don't pass line, even though that's the way it's supposed to be. It's amazing that an entire casino game pivots on the fact that it just is bad form and immoral to stand at the table and bet against the rest of the table. There's a reason you don't do it. Don't be that guy. Bet the over. It's going to be fun.
I am. You're absolutely right. That number could go to 60. I'm still betting the over. Again, everyone, go to extrapoints.com. Find the -3 podcast. Your most latest one with Will Brinson was great. As always, Dave, appreciate taking the time. Enjoy. And next time on, we'll talk about we could talk about your Penguins, who have been on a hell of a roll and just got Geno Malkin back.
Holy hell, Kaz. Now it's time to talk the puck. It's time. And all I'll tell you is this. The Penguins are better off, just like your Leafs. They're better off with fancy competition. We don't want these knuckleball teams getting in our way like the Islanders and the clutch and grab jive. Give us Lightning. Give us Panthers. Give us Leafs and Pens. That's what the hockey fan wants this spring. Make it so, Bettman. Make it so.
Take care, my friend.
All the best, guys. All the best.
That is Dave Damashek from the -3 podcast.